It was the springtime of 1952. Brother Vernon Means and I were invited by Brother W.O. Norton, who at that time was preaching for the Leesburg Church, to preach our first sermons on one Wednesday night. And since 1952, there have been few Sundays that I have missed preaching until I came to Plymouth. Except for my meeting that I held in Tennessee back in October, I believe it was, Charlie. Except for that, I have not preached until tonight. So, I've got a lot of minutes to make up. She was the 20th child of 22 children. She was born prematurely, and her survival at the very beginning was in doubt. When she was 4 years old, she contracted double pneumonia and scarlet fever. And those two conditions left her with a paralyzed left leg. And her parents told her, and the doctors told the parents, that she will never walk again. At the age of 9, however, she removed the metal leg brace that had been strapped to her left leg and began to walk without it. By 13, she had developed a rhythmic walk, which doctors said was a miracle. The same year, she decided to become a runner. She entered a race and came in last. For the next few years, every race she entered, guess what? She came in last. Everyone told her it was time to quit. But she kept on running. And one day, she actually won a race. And then another, and then another, and then another, and on and on and on it went. And every race she entered from that point on, she won. Eventually, this little girl, who was told she would never walk again, went on to win 3 Olympic gold medals. Anybody in the audience remember who it was?
Was it Joyner?
No. Wilma Rudolph. See, y'all don't go back that far. Perseverance. The King James Version uses the word patience. The New International uses the word perseverance. And it's found more often in a single passage in the book of James than any place else in the scriptures. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the victor's crown, the life God has promised to those who love him. I'm convinced tonight that the church and the American people in particular are desperately in need of reviving within their lives the quality of perseverance. Perseverance will make a difference in our lives, any way you want to look at it. Perseverance says to us, keep going, keep trying, don't quit. You perhaps have heard the story of Thomas Edison time and time again. He was probably the greatest inventor in American history. When he first attended school, we're told, in Port Huron, Michigan, his teachers complained that he was too slow and hard to handle. And as a result, Edison's mother decided to take her son out of school and teach him at home. The young Edison became fascinated with science. And at the age of 10, he already had set up his first chemistry lab. Edison's energy was inexhaustible. And his genius eventually produced in his lifetime more than 1,300 inventions. Persistence. That's the name of the game. And he followed it. Perhaps you've heard of Edmund Hillary. Edmund Hillary. I know Bert knows who that is. In 1952, he attempted to climb the tallest mountain in the world, Mount Everest. And he failed. A few weeks after he had made that failing attempt, he was to speak before a civic group. And as he walked to the edge of the stage, he made a fist like this and pointed to a picture of the mountain there on the highlight board. And he was heard to say with a loud voice, Mount Everest, you beat me the first time, but I'll beat you the next time because you've grown all you're going to grow. But I'm still growing. And so on May 29, 1 year later, 1953, Edmund Hillary succeeded in becoming the first man to climb Mount Everest. Persistence. That's what it's all about. Call it what you want to call it. In fact, before the night is out, we'll discover that it's called something else in the book of Revelation. But right now, it's perseverance. There are many biblical examples, as well as these that we've mentioned. I'll mention one more before we take a look at some Bible examples. Alexander Graham Bell. When he invented the telephone in 1876, it did not ring off of the hook with calls from potential backers. In fact, our president at that time, Rutherford B. Hayes, you perhaps don't remember him in American history. I do because I taught American history, said, that's an amazing invention. But who would ever want to use one of them? Persistence. Perseverance. Jesus Christ said in John 16 and verse 33, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Perseverance. The Apostle Paul wrote to the young man Timothy in his second letter, chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, these words: "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Persistence. Perseverance. Take the Old Testament prophets, for example. Who had our reading tonight? Who did you read about tonight, Charlie? Why? He listened to God, didn't he? Now, it's true that when that she-witch, Jezebel, and her husband, Ahab, sent a message to him and said, "By this time tomorrow, your name will be as the name of these prophets which you have killed." He was scared. He took off. Hid in a cave, and that's where God appeared to him with a small, still voice. God told him three things to do. He said, "Get some rest." Secondly, after you've rested a while, get up and eat. And then three, "I've got a job for you." And you know, that makes sense because it's very practical and natural for us to follow those three suggestions when things get tough and the going gets awesome. But in the book of Revelation, and in the statement that Jesus made from John 16:33 that we read a moment ago, the word overcoming appears several times. And it is a word, an expression that simply means you have been a victor. You have been victorious. You have won. You have established a gain. How is that possible? How do we overcome? How do we accomplish? How do we succeed? May I suggest to you several ideas. Number one, we do so by looking to Jesus. Jesus was the great, successful teacher. Why? Because he loved people. Why? Because he cared for people. Why? Because he put others first. Why? Because he had confidence in God, his Father. And so he would say things like this to his disciples: "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you have peace, and in the world you would have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The writer of Hebrews has much to say about the example of Jesus. In the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and the first paragraph, we have emphasis associated with that idea. The writer said, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus is someone we should look to, for he shows us what the possibilities are in terms of persevering and being persistent. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, the Apostle John writes, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he that is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Everything we have is going for us. And everything that we need is going for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so by looking to Jesus, we can overcome the obstacles of life and we can be persistent and preserving and persevering. Secondly, I believe secondly tonight that we can persevere through the power of our faith. After all, it is the victory that overcomes. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, John said, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" You believe that? If you want to be steadfast, if you want to overcome, if you want to be persistent and persevering, then you will come to believe that faith makes a difference. Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, when he talked to his disciples on one occasion, that by their faith they could move that mountain over there. Oh, you don't believe that. No one can do that. Even Jesus couldn't move that mountain. At least he didn't. But he said to his disciples on this occasion, if you have but faith like the grain of a mustard seed, and it's a very tiny seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. That was one of Jesus' teaching techniques. He would overemphasize certain issues, certain conditions, to establish a point of concern. He did it in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, don't be too concerned about the speck in your brother's eye when you got a big beam in yours. I've seen artists depicting that scene with a big beam in a person's eye, trying to find that little speck in the brother's eye. Jesus overemphasizing it so he'd get his point across. On another occasion he said, it is as difficult, and JC, this is why I'm not a millionaire. It is just as difficult for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter heaven. Just another attempt by Jesus to overemphasize a certain issue to get his point across. He's a great teacher. Through the power of faith. Thirdly, I'd suggest to you tonight that through our spiritual birth in Jesus Christ, we can learn to overcome and be persistent and persevering. After all, it was John who said in 1 John 5 and 4, "For whoever is born of God overcomes the world." And then when he wrote the gospel according to John, he said in John 3, verses 3 and 5, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." The birth of the child of God is extremely emphatic and needful because of its enduring power in our lives. It assures us of overcoming. I want us to see tonight that not only through spiritual birth, which is defined by Paul in Romans chapter 6 as baptism, the act of baptism, but also we're motivated by the rewards that come after we make a concerted effort to be persevering. Capture these reflective thoughts from the book of Revelation, and I'll go hurriedly through them. Revelation 2:7, He who overcomes will eat of the tree of life. I can remember a bunch of years ago, we traveled with a group of kids from Mount Dora to North Carolina, Silva, North Carolina. Brother and Sister Boyd had a cabin up in the mountains near Silva. And they had this plum tree in their front yard, and it was a white plum tree. And it was extraordinarily loaded with fruit that year, just as sweet. You put that plum to your lips and it would just melt and the juice would flow out of the corners of your mouth. And man, I can taste it now. I said, "Sister Boyd, these are the best plums I've ever eaten." She says, "Eat them all." I said, "No, I'm not going to eat them all." But what about this tree of life and the fruit on it? Man, I want to participate in that. I want to be a part of the party that gathers around that tree in heaven and partake of it with the saints of God. Also in the second chapter of Revelation, verse 26, he who overcomes will be given power and the morning star. Power and the morning star. These are rewards of being conquerors, of overcoming. In Revelation 3 again, verse 5, he who overcomes will be clothed with white garments and will confess his name before my Father. It was a special occasion to be clothed with white garments. It indicated purity, morality, soundness. In Revelation 3 and verse 12, he who overcomes will be as a pillar in the temple of my God and will have the name of my God written on him. There will be no escaping your identity. People will know who you are. God's name will be written on you. And then Revelation 2 and verse 17, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. I was talking to a gentleman not too many days ago whose parents died some years ago and left he and his sister with an inheritance. And his sister greedily stole his portion of the inheritance. And I said to him, "Why didn't you fight it?" "No, she can have it. I don't want to hassle." The inheritance we will receive from God because we've overcome, because we've been persistent, because we have been persevering, will be an inheritance no one can steal from us. It'll be ours to have throughout eternity. How persistent have you been? How persevering have we been? Have we overcome? Have we been victorious? Have we been successful? Those are questions that we have to deal with every day of our lives. Because those questions are biblical. And they deal with the issue of consistency, of patience. And aren't we happy to know that Jesus is our pioneer, is our perfecter of our faith, is our perfect example of obedience. And following Him will guarantee success as we persevere and are patient. If we can help you and be of service to you in any way tonight, spiritually, we'd like to do that and be that with you and for you while we stand and sing at this time.